Let me tell you. Some of you know that this weekend was the third in my getaways with the Lord that I've had since Ron passed away. And I didn't have a sermon when I head out on Friday. But I was confident that I would. That stuff doesn't bother me anymore. And on the way out, I just went to Geneva, and on the way out on the thruway, I kept hearing the word ambassador, 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 over and over again. And I remembered that it is from 2 Corinthians, where I started the sermon about our changed identities. So I thought, well, let's see what God wants to do. Well, I got there, and it's been a long time since I have come under such a vicious attack from the enemy. The first thing was, I forgot my Bible. Now, my Bible was in a pile of books, and I had taken it out to share a scripture and neglected to put it back and forgot that it was on the floor next to my chair. And I'm like, Lord, I don't have my Bible, but thank God for the Gideons. There was a Bible in the room. King James, so some of these scriptures won't be my usual amplified. Then I became freezing cold. No matter how high I turned the thermostat in the room, like shaking cold. Then I got sick. I was sick all night. Sick to my stomach, aches, pains. And I'm like, holy cow. Somebody doesn't want me to give this word. And I said, Lord, did I miss it? Because I really pray when to go, where to go. And I had felt the green light. And he said, no, you've just got to battle through this. And, you know, sometimes we'd like to stop that stuff from going on, but I couldn't. I had to just battle through it. And there were many other things that happened Friday over to Saturday morning. And I was really in a bad way. And finally, around 10:30 yesterday morning, it was like one of those things in the movies where the skies part, you know, and there's like tinkling music in the background, like, wah. And the presence and the glory of God came upon me for about, 10:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. And I was shaking again, but not because I was cold, but because of the presence of the Lord. And I've come to realize that those challenges and that opposition to me is just confirmation that we're doing something right. The enemy doesn't oppose the things he doesn't care if you do. Have you ever been opposed watching television or going shopping? No, I never have. It's those things that we really know are God. So I turn to, I don't have the Gideon Bible with me tonight, I turn to 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm just going to read it to you, 5, verse 13 through 21. For if we are beside ourselves, mad as some say, it is for God and concerns him. If we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. For the love of God, of Christ controls, urges, and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that all those who live might no longer live to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and is a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable, and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Father, I pray that you would bless all that we talk about tonight. Lord, that it would find a way into the deep places of our heart. Lord, you've opened up our spirits with that sweet worship. And I pray, Lord God, that everything that you want us to hear would be heard. And Lord, that it wouldn't just be by the hearing of the ear, but by the embracing of our hearts, Lord God, that we can continue to become all it is that you want us to be, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I read that once the sky parted, and very clearly, all of a sudden, boom, 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 seven things came to me. Not necessarily in the specific order, but I'm going to read them to you. We need to be compelled by the love of Christ. No longer live for ourselves, but for him. Regard no one according to the flesh. Be reconciled to God. Understand that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are all called to be ministers, specifically of reconciliation. And this is accomplished by seeing ourselves as ambassadors. I said to the Lord, you know, we've been talking a lot about this stuff. I did 3 weeks about the love of God, and we've been talking about forgiveness a couple of times, and we've been talking about new identities. Lord, is this really what you want? And as I sat there just quietly, all of a sudden, the Lord began to bring a prophecy. And I wrote it down as I was sitting in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to try and give that now. Thus saith the Lord, deeper, greater. You may be doing every one of these things, but there is a deeper level of truth, a deeper level of revelation, a deeper understanding, and a greater ability to walk them out, a greater anointing to impart to others, a greater fruitfulness coming for the greater harvest. But I am requiring of you death, wider, deeper, greater, so that I may pour in wider, deeper, greater life, my love, my compassion, my purity, my holiness. And that's when I started shaking. Doesn't matter how many times we've heard even the simpler of truths, but when God puts his hand on it anew and afresh, and he takes it to a deeper level in us, we might as well have never heard it at all. And I know many of you, and I know that many of you are walking in these things, but it's deeper. There is a deeper place that he's going in us. And it's for a specific time, this time. And it's not casual. It is important. It is serious. And it is going to change you. And if you let it change you, it will change others. I'm not going to do all seven tonight, so... But I'm going to be preaching more often. So we'll be, which is, I love to do it, so it's not a problem. So you'll be hearing it. But the first thing I want to talk about is being compelled by the love of Christ. Compelled. Compelled means to be driven. It means to urge forcefully or irresistibly. The love of Christ driving you, forcing you, being irresistible to you. Jesus talked about giving new commandments. And in several places it talks about him love. He says this is the commandment. Love God with your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But in John 13:34, repeated in John 15:12, listen to this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love you so one another. Love one another the same way I loved you. A new commandment for a new identity. A new commandment for a new season. A deeper level. Love is Christ loved. Unchangeable. There's never a lack. Just as we spoke over Al and Casey, it's always going to be enough. It defines us as being followers of Christ, that kind of love. The Lord told me that none of us have yet experienced the depth of the love that he wants to pour into us and then through us. We've all tasted God's love. We're saved. We're walking with him. He's provided for us. You know, we all have testimonies about the goodness and the love of God, but we have not yet even scratched the surface. This love will undo you. This love will wreck you. This is radical kind of love. As those of us who've been going through the Heidi Baker devotional, radical love. You know, we may love our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our pets, our love, our church family, but we haven't gotten it yet. And it requires us being willing to be undone. Undone by the love of God. And it also requires us to feel his heart. What does that have to feel like? The heart of God. He wants to give us a new heart. for a new season. He wants to give us his heart. In Romans 13:8, it says, owe no one anything except love, to love one another. We owe it. The word commands us. We owe each other the love of Christ. It's not a suggestion. It is no longer a suggestion. And it's not a heart and flowers and butterflies and rainbows and unicorns. I was a hippie. It's not that kind of love. It is a love that is going to break our heart. It is a love that, as I said before, is going to undo us in its power and its passion and its compassion. Ephesians 3:17-19 says that we're to be rooted and grounded in love, that we would comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love, and that we would know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. It's not something we're ever going to be able to figure out up here in our minds. It passes all knowledge, this love I'm talking about. In 1 John 3:17, it says, we know that we've passed from death to life because of how we love. We will know that the love of God is in us in ever-increasing ways. And we sang about that tonight over and over. Lord, I want to know you more. I want more of you. I want to be more intimate with you. He was drawing us and declaring that over us and wooing us. Come to me. Let me put my heart in you. In the Heidi Baker devotional, there's there have been several that I've really liked, but there's one entitled Love Carrier. It's number 207 if you want to look it up. And it says, this is what Heidi says, we are armed with love. If we are armed with love, that kind of love I'm talking about, that love of Christ, we have a weapon much more powerful, completely disarming, and totally compelling. It will attract rather than repel. It will break down barriers, not create them. It will soften hearts, not harden them. Remember today, you are a love carrier. You are also the channel through whom God can deliver someone's miracle. The thing that has captured my attention in that particular devotional is that Heidi will go and sit on a mud floor with someone and wrap her arms around them, wherever they are, whatever they look like, whatever they smell like, whatever their situation is, and without exception, she says, in the love of and compassion of Christ came upon me. And as that happened, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, souls are being saved because of the love and the compassion of Christ pouring through one little woman. And God is not a respecter of persons. There is not one person here, regardless of gender, education, age that God does not want to use is a carrier of his love. This love that is so powerful that it will undo you, it will undo the enemy, and it will undo those who receive it. In John 17:26, which is one of my favorite chapters, it's the intercessory prayer that Jesus does in front of the disciples at the Last Supper. In the New King James, which is what the Gideon Bible was, it said this. He's praying to the Father, and he said, "And I have declared to them your name, and I will continue to declare it, so that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." Jesus made a declaration, not just there for the disciples, but for every one of us. He said, "I've made a declaration. Father, I've declared to these 12 who you are. I've told them all about you. I've imparted your love into them. I have told them about your love. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to declare the love of God, the love of the Father, until that love which you loved me with is part of them." And right now, tonight, Jesus is declaring that over every one of us. And I'm going to stop. And we're going to pray. I want you to hear the voice of Jesus declaring over your heart that the love of the Father will be present there. So, Father, we just pray. And Father, first of all, I pray against fear. Lord, none of us likes to be undone. We give you control, O God. And Father, I'm hearing Jesus in heaven making a declaration even yet that the love of the Father would be in us. And I declare over everyone here that the love of Father God would be in you and in me. We declare it now in the name and by the blood of Jesus according to his word. We make that declaration that's being made even now in heaven, that the love that the Father had for Jesus would be our portion. And Lord, make us unwilling to settle for anything less. Lord, undo us with your love. Cause us to be channels of your love, O God. Father, let us not be satisfied until we love as you loved. Father, not only those before us now, but those that no one else will love, O God. Those that no one else will stop for, Lord. Pour that into us now, God. Pour it into us now, Lord God. Let us never be the same, Father. Lord, let there be nothing that would hinder the flow, either into us or through us, O God. Lord, that we would be willing to release that love to everyone you put before us, O God. Jesus. The second thing says that we would no longer live for ourselves, but live for Him. Sounds lofty, doesn't it? But it's not easy. We live in a culture that is very egocentric, self-centered. Those coming up, even the generation in the church, I see wanting to form God into who they want Him to be. Not willing to sacrifice. The benefits of heaven, fine. Forgive my sins, great. Don't go to hell, all for that. But don't mess with my life. We will no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. You know, when I first got married, my goal was to try and make Ron into the husband I thought I needed. Guess how successful that was? I didn't know the Lord, so the tactics used we won't talk about here. Even after I was saved for a while, that's how I prayed. Just being honest. Lord, change him. Figured I had God on my side now. Marriage is still a little rocky. Until I said, Lord, change me. Make me the kind of wife He needs. He started praying the same thing. Make me the kind of husband Lisa needs. Got pretty good after that. Our life is not our own, as much as we would like it to be. We are bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's set us free from a lot of things, but He's required us to now be a bond slave, to live our life for Him. In the practical way of doing things, we still like to do things our way. We like our downtime. We like to go where we want and pray that God will bless it. Do what we want to do and say, God, I hope you'll go with me. And we've got it just as backward as I did as a young bride. Because what we should be saying is, God, where do you want to go today? Will you take me with you? You know, the Lord, as I was writing this, reminded me of the scripture in Matthew and a couple of the other gospels that talk about asking, seeking, and knocking. We're all familiar with that. You know, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be answered. And of course, the context of that scripture is a guy that goes to his friend's house at midnight and keeps rapping on the door until he gets a loaf of bread. And the application is keep praying for things, and I get that. But the Lord said to me, new identities, new season, new perspective. So what am I supposed to be asking? Lord, what do you require of me today? And keep on asking. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Before I even get out of bed, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Because it's not my life after all. It's His. Seek. Lord, who needs Father's love today? always being alert. Who needs it, Lord? Who needs your love today? Help me not miss one person. Help me not get so caught up in what I think I should be doing that I miss the one on the wayside, even if it's just a smile and a kind word. And knock, Lord, don't forget me. Don't go without me. Here I am. And be persistent in asking, seeking, and knocking. God, what do you want today? Not here's my list. Put your stamp of approval on it. Be willing to be interrupted. Be willing to have to take a phone call while you're eating your dinner or watching your favorite TV show or taking a nap or in the middle of the night. It's not our life. Jesus told the story of the certain Samaritan. The Levite was too busy booking to the temple. We've heard that to stop. Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter woman. The woman with the issue of blood touched his hem and he had to stop. He doesn't want us to get so caught up with our stuff because it's not our life to live. It's not our life. It's his life. And you know what I've found? When I do it his way, he reveals to me time and time and time again that he owns time. And if I'm not talking about shirking real responsibilities. We all have responsibilities that God has given us, and it's not wrong to do those things. But if those things get interrupted, he owns time. I can be in the middle of something that I'm sure God's asked me to do and get 5 phone calls and still have more than enough time to do what it was I have to do. Because obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And we need to offer our lives as a sacrifice. We need to stop and ask, Lord, what are your goals for my life? Rather than saying, God, here's what I want from you. Here's what I want you to do for me. Here's what I need today. Lord, what are your goals for my life? Lord, what should I be working on? Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Lord, how am I doing? Lord, what can I give you today? The scriptures are all there. Seek first the kingdom of God. All the rest will be added. If we are going about God's business, he will provide for us whatever we need, whether it's strength, stamina, finances, fill in the blank. And we also have to trust that God will give us times of refreshing. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He lets us take vacations. He wants us to. But even on our vacations, God, anybody here you want to talk me to talk to? Where should we go on our vacation, Lord? What should we do while we're there? Because it's not your life. Belongs to him. And every day he wants us to come to a place of new surrender. New surrender. Go deeper, God. Show me the things that I'm still hanging on to. Shine your light, Lord, on those things that I think are mine. Show me what I think my rights are. We live in a country that says you've got rights, and you better fight for them. Well, there is a certain amount of fighting that needs to be done in the kingdom. But a lot of trouble is caused when we demand our rights rather than dying to ourselves. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God is a sweet-smelling savor. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." He's calling us to die daily. "Do not be a stumbling block or a cause for your brother to fall." Romans 14, 14 and 15. "There is nothing unclean in and of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food or your TV programs or what you eat or drink or a certain activity, you are no longer walking in love. If you insist on doing it because you have a right to do it in your freedom." And listen to this. "Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died." You may be perfectly okay with God to look at, to eat, to drink, to do whatever. But if it is going to cause a brother to stumble, you need to die to it, because it's not your life. And is it worth causing a brother to stumble? One more and then we're going to stop. "Regard no man according to the flesh." In this culture we live in, unless you're a certain stature, a certain weight, wear a certain kind of makeup, dress accordingly, you're less than. And it's shoved down our throat everywhere we go. Every magazine cover, every television program, every song, every movie. This is the world's standard. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. "Stop evaluating others from a human point of view." Do you know what evaluating means? Putting a value on something. What value should we be putting on people? Every person has value because Jesus says so. When we judge or regard someone according to the flesh, what we're saying is, you don't have any value. Based on some superficial something. We must be cleansed of the world system. You know, most of how those ladies in the magazines look is a lie anyway. Airbrushed and cropped, and it's not truth. It's not truth. You know, we can get very close to a value system that we would hate to say that we're close to, and that's the one in Nazi Germany, when Hitler decided who was worth something and who had no value. If you were Jewish, you had no value. If you were retarded, you had no value. If you were a homosexual, you had no value. If you were dark-haired and not blonde, you had no value. We would never want to associate with that, would we? But every day we do. When we judge someone that we think is not valuable by what we see with our natural eye. Because of the way they look, smell, dress, behave themselves, the activity they're involved in. And I don't care if it's a mafia boss, God says he's got value. Everyone has the potential to become a new creation. Because who did Christ die for? Only the good-looking ones? All of us. Everyone that's ever been born. He died for them. God knows the potential in everyone. And he knows about each person ever to come on this earth before the foundation of the world. One of the best examples I think of that is one Alan Casey and I were talking about, which is why I left my Bible behind this week, is Jesus and the demoniac. This man was crazy. He said he was untamable. They kept trying to put him in chains. He kept breaking the chains. It says, all day and all night he cried and howled and cut himself with stones. You would walk a wide berth around that guy, and so would I, if we were only judging by our natural eye. Who knows what else was going on there, but it wasn't good. And he had no peace day and night, day and night, day and night, howling, screaming, cutting. And Jesus walked up to him and didn't judge him with his natural eye, but saw him clothed and in his right mind. And not only that, he saw he was an evangelist, because this guy's got a testimony. He didn't want him to just get cleaned up. You have a purpose and a destiny, just like every one of you does. And just like every single person we come in contact does, regardless of how our natural eye sees them, we need to say, Lord, show me by your Spirit. What's the potential in this person? Lord, it's not my life, so I'm going to stop. And I don't know if I can love them, but I sure know you can. So Lord, pour it through me. Pour it over them. Help me love them. Compel me. Urge me to love them. And as we begin to do these things, and as we begin to say, yes, Lord, yes, I want your love. Yes, I'm willing to die to myself. Yes, Lord, give me your eyes. Give me your heart. As we begin to do that, lots of things are going to become undone. It is the key to our new identity. It's world-changing stuff, the Lord told me. And it's stuff that we've known for a long time. There's not one thing I've said here tonight that is any different than anything you've heard before. But as I started out, God wants to take it to a deeper place. And he wants to show us that it's not just a nice thought. It's a must do. We must, because it's becoming a matter of life and death. To be continued. Father, we thank you for your challenge. And Lord, I pray that as these words sink in to all of us, including me, Lord, that we would indeed see that we are your bond slave. Fill us with your love, Lord, and give us your eyes. And Father, we pray that in all of it you would be glorified. We would be strengthened, and others would go free. Amen.